Mullen Burst Test vs Edge Crush Test. Which spec should you require? From Axiom Global Packaging Solutions. Two numbers show up on almost every corrugated box certification stamp, and they get treated as interchangeable more often than they should. Bursting strength, the Mullen test, and edge crush test, ACT, are both single value ratings that reduce a board's performance to a number a purchase order can reference. They do not measure the same failure mode, they do not move together in a predictable ratio, and specifying the wrong one for the job is a common reason a box passes its paperwork but fails in the field anyway. What the Mullen burst test measures. The bursting test, TAPPIT 810 for paperboard, TAPPIT 807 or ASTMD 774 for the container board variant, clamps a small circular area of board over a rubber diaphragm and inflates the diaphragm hydraulically until the board ruptures. The result is reported in points, or pounds per square inch of pressure at failure. It is a localized, out-of-plane test. It loads a small patch of liner and medium in tension until the weakest ply tears. Because the failure mode is a tear through the facing, burst strength tracks closely with the tensile strength and bonding of the liner plies, basis weight, fiber quality, and how well the liner is bonded to the flute. It correlates well with resistance to puncture, impact, and rough handling, a forklift time catching a corner, a box dropped point first, a parcel squeezed through a chute. It correlates poorly with how the box behaves when it is simply stacked and left alone, because stacking load is carried edgewise through the flute columns, not as a localized puncture through the liner. What the edge crush test measures. ACT, TAPPIT 811, or ASTMD 8134 for the short column, neckband method, takes a small strip of corrugated board, stands it on its edge so the flute columns run vertically, and compresses it between platens until the flutes buckle. The result is reported in pounds force per inch of edge length, or kilonewton per meter. It is an in-plane, structural test. It measures how much edgewise compressive load the combined structure, liners plus flute, can carry before the columns collapse. ACT is the input to the Mucky formula for predicting box compression strength, BCT equals 5.87x ACT x SQRT, TXZ, where T is board caliper and Z is box perimeter, so it is the number that actually predicts warehouse stacking performance, container loading, and rack storage. It says very little about how the board resists a sharp localized impact, because a short column crush test never puts the liner in tension the way a real puncture does. Why the two don't convert? Buyers sometimes ask for a conversion factor. Our old spec was 200 pounds Mullen. What's the equivalent ACT? And the honest answer is that there isn't a reliable one. Burst strength is driven mainly by liner basis weight and ply bond strength. ACT is driven mainly by flute geometry, how tall and how tightly spaced the flute is. See flute grade ABCE under DIN 55468-1, the medium stiffness, and how well the flute tips are glued to the liners. You can raise burst substantially by switching to a heavier or higher quality liner while leaving the flute unchanged, and barely move ACT at all. You can raise ACT by switching from C flute to B flute at the same combined basis weight, and barely move burst at all. The two properties respond to different levers, so a single multiplier can only ever be an approximation for one specific board construction, which is why industry guidance, the Fiber Box Handbook among others, treats published Mullen to ACT conversion tables as rough estimates, not substitutes for testing the actual board. A worked comparison. Consider two single-wall C flute boards built to roughly the same combined facing plus medium weight, about 110 lb, 1000 square feet, differing only in how that weight is allocated. See the table in the article for the figures. Same total fiber weight, same flute size, and the two boards trade places on which test they win. A buyer who only checks the burst number would pick board A and get a box that stacks noticeably worse than board B under identical warehouse conditions. A buyer who only checks ACT would pick board B and might be underspecified for a distribution channel with heavy manual handling and puncture risk. Neither number alone tells the full story. Which one to specify? Palletized, racked, or containerized freight where boxes are stacked and left under load, specify ACT, and validate with a box compression test per ASTM D642 on the finished box, since ACT alone does not account for box dimensions or joint construction. Parcel, LTL, or postal channels with significant manual handling, conveyor transfer, or drop risk, burst strength remains relevant because puncture and impact resistance is what typically fails first in those channels, well before compression. Retail and big box compliance programs increasingly specify ACT directly rather than burst, because modern distribution centers rely on high-density block stacking and automated storage where compression, not puncture, is the dominant failure mode. Check the customer's packaging compliance guide rather than assuming a legacy Mullen spec still applies. Mixed or unknown handling profile, specify both, with independent minimums for each, rather than trying to infer one from the other. A board that clears both bars is not over-engineered. It is covering two genuinely different failure modes. Testing conditions matter for both. Both tests are meaningless without conditioning. Report values assume the standard climate of 23°C and 50% relative humidity, the same climate ASTM D642 uses for box compression testing. Corrugated fiberboard loses a substantial share of both burst and edge crush strength as moisture content rises, and the two properties do not degrade at the same rate, so a board that comfortably clears both specs at 50% RH can fail one of them well before the other in a humid warehouse or an unconditioned container. If your distribution environment runs consistently above 65 to 70% RH, treat the certified dry values as a ceiling, not a guarantee, for either test. The practical rule: identify the actual failure mode your product has experienced or is exposed to, crush from stacking, or puncture from handling, and specify the test that predicts that failure, rather than defaulting to whichever number happens to be on the legacy purchase order. When the handling profile is mixed or unknown, specifying both minimums costs little and closes the gap that a single number spec leaves open.